Welcome to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls, the podcast where we have a real conversation about scripture that don't always fit in a Sunday morning bulletin. I'm your host, Evelyn.
And I'm Crystal. And I am still processing everything from our Tuesday night Bible study. We went all in on the final chapter of the entire Bible, Revelation 22. And let me tell you, it was anything but a neat and tidy ending.
It really was. It was raw, it was hopeful, and honestly, it was a bit terrifying in the best way. It's the kind of passage that sticks with you and forces you to look at your own life differently. So for everyone who wasn't there with us, we're spending this Thursday podcast recapping the deep dive and getting into the nitty-gritty discussion it sparked for us.
We're talking about the end of the story, but more importantly, what it means for how we live right now, outside these church walls, in the middle of our messy lives.
That's the heart of it. So let's get unfiltered. We're standing with the promise of everything being restored. So before we get started, here is our disclaimer. Here at Unfiltered Faith, we teach the word straight, unfiltered, unedited, not watered down. We don't twist scripture to fit tradition. We don't bow to culture. We don't soften the edges of the Bible just to make people feel comfortable. We encourage everyone listening, open your Bible, read along with us, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to confirm and guide you. We're here to equip you, not replace your personal walk with Jesus, and we are reading out of the New King James Version, so you're aware. Yes. All right, let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you with humble and teachable hearts. As we open this chapter in Revelation, we ask for clarity, discernment, and revelation. Let your Holy Spirit guide our words, steady our spirits, and open the ears of every listener. Lord, these are not light passages. They are heavy with prophecy and justice, but you are the God of perfect truth. Let your presence fill this conversation, keep us grounded in love, anchored in scripture, and focus on your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for wisdom, unity, and for the privilege of studying your word together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we kick it off Tuesday by establishing a core idea that just reframed everything for me in Revelation 22. So we're going to read 22, I'm going to read 1 through 5. And the title here is The River of Life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no light there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Mm-hmm. So Revelation 22 isn't about God creating something brand new and unfamiliar. It's about him restoring what was always intended. This is basically Eden 2.0 without the possibility of a fall.
Yeah. And the first picture John gives us is this river. So the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing straight from the throne of God and the Lamb. So I just sat there thinking, we spend so much of our lives trying to dig our own wells and trying to find our own sources of life, whether it's our careers or relationships or self-help routines, like whatever it is.
Yep.
And here is the picture of the ultimate source. It's not something we create. It's something that flows from God himself.
That's right. And the truth there, life isn't manufactured. It's received. Mm-hmm. I think that's what really hits. And then you have the tree of life. This is what gets me. In Genesis, humanity gets cut off from this tree because of sin.
Yeah.
It was a consequence, but here it's back. And it's not just surviving, it's thriving, bearing fruit every month with leaves for the, quote, the healing of the nations, end quote. That's what it says.
Yeah. And let's get real about that healing for a minute, because I think we hear that and our minds go to a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least mine does.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is so much bigger. This is the healing of the stuff that breaks us every single day. The healing of racial injustice, of the generational trauma passed down in our families, mm-hmm. of the anxiety that eats away at us, of the soul-deep loneliness we feel in a crowd. It's God saying, I see every fracture, and I'm going to make it whole.
Yes, every fracture. And John then says it in a way that should make us stop breathing. No longer will there be any curse. Think about that for a second. No more shame that follows us around. No more feeling like you're not enough. No more fear of death hanging over you and everything you love. And then no light, no more darkness, no more hiding, because God's glory is the light. We live in His presence, constantly illuminated. We can't even picture that.
It's hard. It's hard. And then the line that just wrecked me was verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
They will see His face. So in the Old Testament, I mean, that was a death sentence.
That's right. Couldn't even look at Him.
You couldn't even see God. No one could see God's face and live. So sin created that distance, that setback sign. But because of Jesus, that distance is gone. It's not a formal audience with a king on a far-off throne. It's a father looking at his children in the eye with no more distance.
That's so true. Basically, it's the restoration of that intimacy that we long for, I think, you know?
Yeah.
The truth we can't miss is that Eden wasn't a myth. It was a preview. Heaven isn't about floating on clouds, which I have to laugh when I think about that, because I know as a kid, that's what I used to think. I'm like, you know, if you get up past the clouds, you'd see heaven. But obviously, I've been on an airplane. I know that's not true. but it's about getting our purpose and our relationship with God back fully and forever. We don't just live forever. We live whole for eternity, again, we talked about that. I mean, we can't even fathom what eternity looks like.
No, we can't. So now we're going to move on to Revelation 22, 6 through 11, this segment, The Time is Near. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and one of your brethren, the prophets, and one of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Okay.
That's good.
So after this beautiful, breathtaking picture of restoration, the tone shifts. And it shifts hard.
Mm-hmm.
So John goes from what heaven looks like to a direct command about how we are supposed to live now. And this is where it gets unfiltered and a little uncomfortable.
It sure does, because verse 6 starts with, these words are trustworthy and true.
Mm-hmm.
So God is the essential saying, do not spiritualize this away. Do not turn this into a pretty poem. This is truth to build your life on. And then the angel gives John a command that is the direct opposite of what Daniel was told.
Yeah, so Daniel was told to seal up the words.
Yep.
Because the time was far off. But here, the angel says, do not seal up the words of this prophecy because the time is near. So this is an open book. It's meant to be read, proclaimed, and obeyed. So God wants his people to know where history is headed so that we can live accordingly.
That is so true. And I think just my opinion is why at the beginning in Revelation 1 verse 3, where it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. I think there's a reason where he says the time is near, obviously, and why not to close this book. And he encourages, you know, he wants everybody to know and read this book and follow it. He didn't close it. So put a blessing with it to basically, I think, encourage people to like, hear me, you know?
Yeah.
So the time is near is what we need to wrestle with. It doesn't mean someday off in the future. It means imminent. It could be any time. And this urgency isn't meant to send us into a panic, trying to set dates, which unfortunately people do. It's meant to wake us up from our spiritual slumber. God isn't panicking, but he is warning us here, and he wants us to be ready.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the part that probably really hits home for my generation especially. I think we're so good at procrastinating the, oh, I'll deal with that later, mm-hmm. or I'll get serious about my faith when I'm older. But this text says, no, the time is now.
Yep.
And then comes the most sobering verse in the whole chapter, verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still.
Yep. That sounds so harsh on the surface. It sounds like God is giving up on his people. But that's not what's happening here. This is a statement of finality, of decisions hardening over time. Mm-hmm. What you're choosing today is setting the trajectory for your forever. No one accidentally drifts into holiness, and no one wakes up one day far from God by surprise. It's a thousand little decisions that led you there.
Yeah. It's basically the ultimate, you are what you eat, but for your soul. If you're consistently feeding on wrong, your heart hardens toward it. Yeah, if you're constantly pursuing right, you become more righteous. It's a warning that your choices have eternal weight. Habakkuk says, the vision has an appointed time. Jesus says, be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And that clock is ticking.
That is so true. So the question here, this forces us to ask, if Jesus returned tonight, or in this very moment for that matter,
yeah.
would the life you're living, the choices you're making, say, I was ready or I am ready? The question of the hour.
Yes, it is.
Okay, we're going to move on to Revelation 22, 12 through 21 and finish up Revelation. And just a word, y'all, if you have followed us from day one, 25 weeks, we have literally read with you every single word of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So praise God for that. Verse 12, and this title says, Jesus testifies to the churches. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Mm. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Verse 18, the title is a warning. Mm-hmm. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from these words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. I am coming quickly is the title of verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So completing Revelation, it's amazing. After that heavy warning, the final section of the Bible is not quiet or vague. Jesus himself speaks directly, and the first thing he says is, look, I am coming soon. He says it three times in this chapter. It's not late. It's not delayed. He is faithful to his promises always.
Mm-hmm. And he's bringing his reward with him. So that just gives me chills. Every sacrifice you made in secret every time you chose obedience when it was hard, every moment of faithfulness when no one was watching, it's all seen and it all matters. It's not in vain. He is coming to repay.
Yeah, it's certainly seen by the one that matters, right?
That's right.
And he declares his absolute authority. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is bookending history.
Mm-hmm.
He started it all, he sustained it all, and he will finish it all. History does not belong to the politicians, the tech giants, the chaotic powers of this world. It belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone.
Yes, and that's why this next part is so crucial. There is a blessing for those who wash their robes, for those who have been cleansed by him and keep his word.
Yes.
But there's also a stark warning not to add to or take away from the prophecy. And I think this is where the church can get it wrong sometimes. We want to soften the edges. We want to make grace a license to do whatever we want. But Jesus says, no, grace is wide, but truth is not flexible. I don't negotiate truth. I invite you into it.
That's right. And it's the tension that we have to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Unfiltered grace and uncompromising truth. And then the Bible ends with the most beautiful open invitation, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride says, come. This is the last altar call in all of Scripture. It's not manipulative. It's not high pressure. It's the Holy Spirit and the church, us, saying to a broken world, come to the water, come to the feast, come to Jesus.
Yes, and who is it for? And let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. So it's for everyone.
That's right.
It's for the person who feels far from God. It's for the person who thinks they've messed up too much. I know, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
The invitation is simple and free. The Bible doesn't end with a warning. It ends with hope. It ends with an invitation.
And the very last words are a promise and a response. Jesus says, yes, I am coming soon. And the church, the bride, replies, amen, come, Lord Jesus. So it's the ultimate expression of faith and longing that we have. It's us saying, we believe you. We can't wait for you to make all things new. Yes. Oh, so there you have it. That is the final chapter. It's a vision of a world restored, a warning to live with urgency, and an invitation to come.
Yes, and it leaves us with those final unfiltered questions we have to sit with. Are we living like people who actually believe this restored future is our destiny? If he came back tonight, would our lives say, I was ready? And are we just passively waiting, or are we actively watching, living with the holy urgency, and joining the Spirit in saying, come?
Yes. So those are questions that will shape how we live this week and in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for diving in deep with us today. We hope this conversation encourages you to read Revelation, not only 22 for yourself, but the entire book of Revelation if you did not follow all along the whole time, and just let it sink in.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear what this chapter sparks in you. Find us on Facebook, on Beyond the Church Walls Ministry. That's very important to put ministry. And let's keep the conversation going.
We're going to close in prayer. Crystal, so if you lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you for the revelation in your word. Thank you for showing us truth, exposing deception, and anchoring us in hope. Lord, as we study these prophetic passages, let our hearts remain humble, discerning, and hungry for your presence. Protect every listener, strengthen their faith, and keep us watchful for the return of Jesus. We choose truth over deception, we choose holiness over compromise, and we choose Christ above all. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So until next time, be bold in your faith and live beyond the walls.
Until then.
Stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus.
This is Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. We love you, we are praying for you, and we will see you next Thursday. God bless.